Marcus, and thank you, Steve, for leading as well. The last song that we sang was, we were just saying, worthy is your name. And you know, God is worthy of our worship and our praise. Doesn't matter what situation we're in, it doesn't change who God is. Whether we're having whether you're excited, whether you're going through a difficult time, whether we're going through a morning like this morning, knowing that some friends and family are in a situation where they don't know the outcome of some dear friends, dear family, but yet in this situation, God is still worthy. It doesn't change who God is. And so he's still worthy of our praise. And so I'm grateful for that, that he never changes. Even though our situations change all the time, God is still good. He's still faithful. His plan is still the ultimate. And even though right now it seems very difficult, very unknown, uncertain on what God is doing, but we can rest. We can be assured that our Heavenly Father knows what's going on, and he's got this. And I'm grateful for that this morning. Just by way of announcement, before I forget, November 7th, which is the first Wednesday night in November, which is our church prayer meeting night, Jason Reed is going to be here again, okay? We're going to have it here. Instead of prayer meeting in November, it's that Wednesday evening. Jason Reed is going to be here, and he's going to be talking on the topic of, I don't know what the topic title is, but I don't know, Ernie, did you come up with a title yet? Well, what is the best way to describe it? Yes. For some of you, though, that were in his last conversation, he was talking about that pendulum swing. And so he's going to come, and he's going to be talking about that. So you put a title to it, I don't know. But for those of you that have been here, that haven't been here, you don't want to miss out because it's going to be good. But it's something with our cultures and the pendulum swinging and finding a middle ground is what I'm guessing he's going to talk about. Wednesday evening, November 7th, here at 7 o'clock. I'll be posting some of that on Facebook as well. How many of you accomplished anything this week? Like, from last Sunday to this Sunday, would you say that you accomplished something? Most people? Okay. Good. Does that make you feel good?
My kids are all.
Your kids are all. Absolutely. Now, how about if I would tell you that you accomplished nothing? You lived this week and you accomplished absolutely nothing. It doesn't change if you did, okay? Would it change what you do from here out? You don't know? I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine about 3 weeks ago, and just in the conversation, we were talking about all different stuff, and he kept bringing up the words of Jesus, and he said, you know, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, I can't do anything. And I've been thinking about that. I'm like, really, does that really mean what it means? And so we're going to look at John 15, and you can turn there in John 15. Turn your Bibles there to John 15, because we're going to go down and look at that. Is that really what he means? Because Jesus very clearly makes a statement, without me, you can do nothing. And I'm not okay with doing nothing. It kind of makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to be in the state of doing nothing, and I don't want to end my life and come to the point where I did nothing, but Jesus makes it very clear. So let's look at John 15. Let's go down through there and check it out on what he says here. Now, John chapter 15, okay, this is the final Passover. Jesus is teaching. This is within 24 hours before Jesus is going to die. So this is some of Jesus' last words, his last instructions here, John 13, 14, 15. And so Jesus is is teaching here. And I'm going to read through verse 16. Let's go. John chapter 15, 1 through 16. Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes it away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clinging through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, and he's withered. The men gather them, they cast them in the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As my Father loved me, so I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard of my Father I made known unto you. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask in my Father, in my name, he may give it you. All right, so we're going to start here in verse 1. John chapter 15, Jesus uses the two words, and he says, I am. And I love the way he starts this, because Jesus doesn't just say, I was, or I will be, or I might be. Jesus says, I am. And we know that Jesus is the I am. And the thing I like about that, it was present for the disciples when he was saying this, but it also is present for us today. Because this is still Jesus. He still is I am. And that's how we're starting here this morning. I am. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman, or my Father is the gardener. So Jesus says, I am the true vine. And so it's current for us this morning. Jesus is the true vine. God is the gardener. The true vine. Let's just talk about true vine. Okay, Jesus is using the illustration of a grapevine here, okay? And a grapevine is what they call a prolific plant. And prolific means a plant that has, it's plentiful, it's abundant, it has lots of offspring. It produces much fruit. So a prolific plant, you have one stalk and it'll just produce an abundant amount of fruit. That's what Jesus is talking about here in this true vine. Jesus is the true vine. We have one vine. There's no other vines included here. This is Jesus, the only vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine. So we have that. And in the Old Testament, so we're talking about a grapevine here. In the Old Testament, the grapes, these kind of grapes symbolized Israel's fruitfulness in doing God's work. If you look at, in Psalms it talks about it, Isaiah 5 it talks about it, and Ezekiel it talks about it, where it talks about the vine and grapes. It talks about, and in those three cases, it talks about Israel's fruitfulness in doing God's work. And so we're talking about a vine, we're talking about bearing fruit. But in verse 2, okay, verse 1, I am the true vine. This is current. This is for you and me today. And God's the gardener. Verse 2 says, so we have a vine, right? One vine. And out of the vine, we have a bunch of branches. Verse 2, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So I see two things happening in this verse. First of all, we have one vine. Then we have a bunch of branches, and you and me are these branches. That's what he's talking about here, okay? Each one of us is a branch, and he does something with every branch. Do you notice how the verse starts in verse 2? Every branch. he does something with. This is not just some of the branches. So this is including me and you here. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. So he's not going to miss you here. And two things that happen here. Either he cuts it off or he cuts it for pruning. They both get cut. All right? So cutting is something that Jesus wants to do or does. The branches that don't bear fruit, he takes away. And the others that bear fruit, he purges. And so when you take something away, you do what? You separate it, right? You cut it off so it's separated. Who likes doing things with something dead? No. I don't think any of us enjoy playing with dead things. So we have the vine and the branch here, and if there's a branch that's dead, Jesus says, I'm going to cut it off because it's not healthy. But the branches that bear fruit, he cuts it off so it may bring forth more fruit. Now, I'm not a tree expert by any means, but I do know that landscapers and, you know, you get in your apple trees, your orchards and stuff, you prune stuff down so it brings forth more fruit. When you get rid of the junk, the crap, whatever, the stuff that isn't beneficial, you cut it off. So therefore, that vine can produce more of its efforts to producing the good fruit. So that's what we're talking about here too. Jesus is saying, I'm going to put my energy into the people that I know are going to bear more fruit. You're not going to bear fruit? I just cut it off. Separation, and when I look at that, of when Jesus cuts something off, it separates us. And so I see this as being very important because, and I've been just thinking about this and looking at my life, am I bearing fruit? Or am I someone that Jesus says, you know what, you're not bearing fruit, so it's going to be cut off, and then it's separated. And then we look on down, we'll look what happens with that. But pruning, when you look at something pruning, it's obviously a little different picture. Pruning is healthy. Pruning, what does that look like in my life? Like if God is pruning, what does that look like? And I think it can be all different ways. It can be tests. It can be something God wants to take away. It can be something God disciplining me in a certain area. It can be a trial that I'm going through. There's all different ways that God can prune us. But when God is pruning us, let's let him do his work. Because the reason he's doing it is not because he wants it to hurt. He's doing it so you can bring forth more fruit. So if you're being pruned, it's a great thing because you're already bringing forth fruit, but he wants you to bring forth more fruit, so he's going to keep disciplining you, maybe giving you a couple tests, maybe giving you a couple trials, so you can grow and bring forth more fruit. And the thing I, even looking at this and thinking of bringing forth more fruit, this lines up with scripture as well. You know, growing, becoming better. Proverbs says, get wisdom, get understanding, keep growing. Don't just stand in one spot. It doesn't happen that way. So you're producing more fruit. God is pruning you. Just keep growing. Keep getting more intimate in your relationship with him. All right, verse 3. Says, now ye are clean through the word what I have spoken unto you. And I'm not going to spend much on this, but I do like the word, what he brings in here. He says, now ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. And notice where the cleaning comes from. The cleaning comes through the word of God. And the word of God is very important. We know that the scripture, the word of God, is sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that verse. But the word of God is also a purifying, a cleansing. The word of God is important. He says, you're clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. And I think that still abides, that still is for us today. The word of God, just it does a cleansing. It does a purifying by just absorbing it, by reading it, by putting it into our mind. You're clean through the word I've spoken unto you. Now verse 4. He starts, he uses this word, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now, King James, I'm reading King James, so that's abide. The NIV uses the word remain in me. But the Hebrew and the Greek use the word yashab. And the word yashab means to dwell or to encamp. Okay? But it's an action verb. So abiding or remaining in God is something, is the word is active. It's alive. It's moving. It's not just going and staying in one place. So we're talking about, when we're talking about, when Jesus says here, abide in me, this is not just a one-day thing. Okay, today we're here at church. We decided we're going to abide, we're going to remain in God, and so then we just stay there. No, that's not what he's talking about. This is a continuation. We need to keep doing this. It's an action verb, okay? Yashab is an action verb. And so we have abide where? Abide with me? No. Abide in me. And if you remember, Jason Reed talked about that a couple weeks ago, about being in Christ. This is not alongside. This is not ahead. This is not behind. Jesus says, abide in me. That's a relationship that we, that he wants us to have. And Jason was talking about, you know, the husband and wife, but also I believe it talks about us as Christians. God wants that intimate connection with him. Jesus is saying, abide in me. Abide in me. And then guess what? And then I in you. And I like that picture as well. This is not just about us abiding in Christ. He wants to abide in you as well. So we abide in him, and then he abides in us. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. And so, how do we abide? What does this look like to remain or to abide in Christ? Any ideas? How do we do this? Okay, it's telling us to abide in Christ, but what does that mean to you? How do we do it? Any ideas?
Taking even the small things, Sam.
Okay, good.
Being conscious and aware of his presence and living in it 24/7.
Absolutely. Being conscious of his presence and being aware of it 24/7. That's good. Someone else? Worship. Hang on, Stephen. Yes, worship, absolutely. Worship is a great way to abide in Christ. And we can worship all the time. Sorry, what was yours?
Embracing the Word.
And living it, absolutely. Spending time in the Word, reading the Word, getting to know the Word, being purified by the Word, just diving into the Word of God is a very realistic way that we can abide. Any others? Those are great. I have, and those were actually some of those that I have. Just reading the Word of God, praying is abiding in Christ. Listening can be abiding in Christ. Just connecting with God. And it can look different for different people. But this thing of abiding in Christ is important. So let's do it. We need to do it. Because he says, we'll get there just in a little bit. Abide in me and I in you. A branch can't bear fruit of itself. Okay? You won't bear fruit of itself on your own, except it abide in mine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Jesus, verse 5 says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Okay? And so I want you to get that this morning. Without Christ, you can do nothing. Yes, you can provide food for your children and go to a job and make money. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about in the kingdom of God, the heavenly kingdom, of doing. Last week, Ernie talked about spiritual warfare. You want to be effective in spiritual warfare, you're going to have to abide in Christ. You will not be, you won't, what's the right word? You won't achieve, you won't grow, you won't be, I'm having a brain freeze. You won't amount, I don't want to say amount to much, that doesn't sound like, you won't accomplish if you're not abiding in Christ in the kingdom of God. Spiritual warfare, it's not going to happen. And so that's what we're talking about here this morning. Now, I want to look at some words, some different verses, okay? And you may turn here if you want. Let me see. I'm going to look at John 5, 19. Actually, if you have your Bibles, turn here. I'm going to look at some words that Jesus said, okay? John chapter 5, verse 19. This is Jesus. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. For what he sees the Father do, for whatsoever he doeth, these also the Son, does also the Son likewise. So Jesus is saying, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. How about John 5, verse 30? This is Jesus speaking. I can do nothing. Sorry. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. John 8, 28. Jesus again. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. John 12, 49. I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. In John 14, 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Five different verses that Jesus himself says, it's not about me. Without me, actually the first three verses that I read, Jesus said, without you, I can do nothing. And so if this was Jesus, this was the Son of God, he recognized his need, his dependence on the Father. And if he needed it, we certainly do too. And so I don't know what that does to you when you see that Jesus himself said that and he recognized dependence on God, on how much more dependence we need on God. I mean, when I was thinking about that, it's pretty sobering and humbling that Jesus said that, and I need that too. Without me, you can do nothing. And Jesus knew that. It was the connection with God that gave him the tools to be more than a conqueror, or to thrive. Without me, you can do nothing. And I don't know where you're at right now, what for state, but I don't want you to end up in this state, okay? I don't want any of us or us as a church to come to the end and be cut off and say, you know what, you amounted to nothing because you simply weren't abiding in me. You were not being proactive in your relationship with me. That's where it comes down to. So Jesus very clearly said, I can't do anything without the Father. And so we can't either. Now, one thing that Jesus did have, though, Jesus had a perfect relationship with the Father, and we don't have a perfect relationship. Jesus had a perfect union with the Father. But we're not perfect, so how does that work with, how do we compare? But Jesus made it possible for us by sending Jesus on the cross. He died. He's our sanctification. He shed his blood that we can be forgiven, that we can have that relationship. Even though we're not perfect, we can still have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we can abide in him, and therefore we can bring much fruit. But I don't want us to get caught off. I don't think the point is on how much fruit are you bearing, or bearing much fruit. I believe this point of this scripture is the abiding in Christ. We're made for a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are. We're made for a dependence on him. We're made for a connection with him. And so I want each one of us this morning, not just this morning, but the rest of our lives, to cultivate this intimate relationship, this abiding with Jesus Christ. So we don't get cut off. So we bear much fruit. And so we don't end up doing nothing. Zilch. Let me turn back there to John 15 again. We're going to keep going in, let me go this way. In what he says here in the rest of the chapter. So we look at Jesus, okay, just backing up to those five verses that we read. Everything that Jesus did came from a dependence and from his relationship in Jesus Christ. And, you know, he did all kinds of things. His authority came from that relationship. His power came from that relationship. His life-giving words, his rebukes, his healings, all the things that Jesus did came from that relationship with Jesus Christ. And we can have that relationship. We can abide. Jesus invites us to abide in him. Verse 5. For without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me. This is pretty clear. This doesn't need much explanation. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and he's withered. The men gather them, cast them in the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Really? Isn't that awesome? We can ask whatever we want, and it's going to be done unto us. But yet we do that all the time, and things aren't done unto me. And so when I'm asking, or when we're asking, and they don't happen, what's the deal? Because this verse makes it very clear. You abide in me and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's what he says. But there's two important things here in the beginning. The first one is abiding in me. And so let's ask ourselves, are we abiding in him? And here comes the second one he says. And my words abide in you. My words abide in you. What's his words? Scripture. Abiding in Christ, and this book, Scripture, abiding in you. When you have those two together, then you shall ask what you will be done unto you. And I believe when that happens, when we're abiding in Christ and God's word is abiding in us, I think that our asking won't be way out in left field then. You're going to be asking. You're abiding in Christ. God's word is abiding in you. You're going to be asking things that are according to his will and his purpose, and they'll flow. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so ye shall be my disciples. I love this. Our heavenly Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. We sing songs, glorify your name, to you be honor and glorified. Did you know that God will be glorified in you if you abide in him? That's what the word says. Herein is my Father glorified when you abide in me and then you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Or I think the NIV uses, so you can remain my disciples when you're bearing much fruit. Verse 9, as my Father loved me. Okay, there's three things here, three components that I want you to look in these next couple verses that are very key. And I'm going to look for these three words, okay, that are very important in abiding and in what we're talking about here this morning. One is love, one is joy, and the third one is obedience. So I'm going to read down through there, see if you can catch them here. Love, joy, and obedience. Verse 9, as my Father loved me, so I loved you, continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that my joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. So I look at those verses. I see these three things as being very key here. One is love, and we know that God is love. His greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. So love is a huge factor here, and Jesus is just bringing this in again. Love is so important. This is my commandment, that you love one another. As my Father has loved ye, he says, continue. Continue in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, look at the obedience here. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I, look at his example, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. God does not like to work through disobedience. Does he ever work through disobedience? I think he does, but it's certainly not what his plans are. God likes to work through obedience. And Jesus says, you know what? I was obedient. I was obedient to the commandments. And I find it very interesting here that he brings this here, because being obedient to the word of God is very important. Abiding, part of abiding in Christ, this picture of abiding in Christ and bearing much fruit, is being obedient to the word of God. First of all, you have to be in the word of God so you know what it says, and then you have a choice of obeying it. But sometimes obedience doesn't make sense. Take Abraham, for instance. I was thinking about Abraham and Isaac. Do you know how? So Abraham doesn't have any children, right? And God says, you know what? I'm going to bless you, Abraham, like the sand of the sea and more than that. But Abraham and Sarah, they have no children. So how's this going to work? So you know the story. God comes and gives them a son when Abraham's 100 years old, and so they have this son, this one and only son, who's the savior, and he's going to, you know, be the first key in this cog for multiplication. So God gives him his only son, but then God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, you take this son, this promised son, and go sacrifice him. Now that doesn't make sense. I don't know what went through Abraham's mind, but I'm guessing a lot of things did. And it's like, wait a second, God, you gave me this son. You promised me this son, and now you're going to take it away. Makes no sense. But Abraham was obedient, even in the midst of something totally not making sense. And so sometimes God is going to ask us to be obedient in a situation where it makes no sense. But we need to be obedient. And so I want to encourage you, maybe there's something in your life right now that God is asking you to go through, and it just literally doesn't make sense. Obedience is important. Abraham was obedient. Jesus says, this is, obedience is very important. So now we have, okay, we were talking about the fruit, all right? We're talking about abiding in Christ. We're talking about bearing much fruit. What is bearing fruit? Like, you know, do we have apples and bananas? Or what does God look like? What is a lot of fruit? What does bearing fruit look like? Do you guys have any idea what we're talking about here when he's talking about bearing much fruit?
Galatians 5 is a picture of what fruit looks like. It's a proper
You're exactly right. And I'm going to read that. Two passages. One is Galatians 5. You nailed it, Steve. You were right on. Galatians 5, verses 22 to 24 says this. This is what we're talking about. This is the much fruit that we're talking about here, okay? Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Those are the fruits we're talking about here. Love, joy, peace, this whole list. So abiding in Christ, abide in me, I in you. The branch can't bear fruit of itself, but if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Right here is the fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. 2 Peter also has a little bit on that. I'm going to go to 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 8. It says this. And besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Add to your knowledge temperance. Add to your temperance patience. And to patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? When you have these things in you and you abound, is what he says, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So just wrapping this up here, and actually, I'm going to go down just a couple verses yet more. Verse 14, Jesus says, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. Remember, there we got the obedience part again. And Jesus says, I don't call you servants, but I'm calling you friends. For all things I heard of my Father, I made known unto you. And verse 16 yet says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth much fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever ye ask in of the Father in my name, he will give it you. And this is what I want to wrap up here this morning. First of all, let's look who does the choosing first. Who initiated this whole thing first? Jesus says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And I ordained you that you bear much fruit. So, step number one was Jesus choosing us. And let me tell you this morning, you as a person are chosen by God. I as a person am chosen by God. I am chosen to bear much fruit. God chose you. I'm not talking about this little football game where you're picked to play a football game. You know, where different people, you just go and you choose, someone picks you. This is much better than a football game. This is our Heavenly Father. This is our mighty God choosing you as an individual and saying, I chose you and I ordained you that you bring much fruit. But then we have a choice. We have a choice. The ball comes back into our court. And what are we going to do with it? We need to choose to abide in him. When we choose to abide in him and he abides in us, then we bring a lot of fruit. We're made to depend on him. We're made to have a union with him. We're made to have a relationship with him. Because without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. Is what Jesus says. And that word nothing means just that. Zip, zilch, zero, goose egg, whatever. Nothing. Without a relationship with Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want us to cultivate, to establish and cultivate this abiding in Jesus Christ. Make it a daily thing. Jesus recognized that he can't do anything without his Father. We're recognizing this morning we can't do anything without the Heavenly Father. It's all through a relationship through Jesus Christ. Is it for our benefit? No. The ultimate purpose is for his glory. So in wrapping this up, I'm going to read John 15, 1 through 16 again, and just let these words soak in you here as we finish this up. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes it away. Every branch in me that bears fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Notice this imitation. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch. He's withered, and the men gather them, and they cast them in the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Do you notice where that joy is remaining? That his joy might remain in you. Circumstances are external. We're talking about something inside here. His joy remaining in us. How does joy remain in you? I know I'm stopping here, but how does joy remain in you? What does that look like? To have that joy in us. And I'm seeing a picture of it right now. And that's through Damien. Seeing the joy that's in him. Knowing that he might die tomorrow. And he knows it. It might be next week. It might be a month. We don't know. But it probably won't be long. But he's carrying a sense of joy. That's amazing. That's what we're talking about. That's what joy is. This peace and this thing that you carry, no matter what the circumstances, it's okay. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Not only that my joy might remain in you, but that my joy, that your joy may be full. I love that. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doth, but I've called you friends. For all things I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. Verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. I want you to get this. Just let this soak in a little bit. This is Jesus' words. And I believe it's still for us today. I know he spoke that to the disciples. But this is still for us today. You didn't choose me. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth much fruit. Or you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. And that whatever ye ask in my Father, in my name, he may give it. Your Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Lord, I want to thank you for this incredible invitation that you have as an almighty God with us as people. You chose us. Thank you for choosing us. And Father, we see this invitation this morning of abiding in you or remaining in you, and just having a relationship with you is so important. Because outside of a relationship with you, from a kingdom perspective, in spiritual warfare like we talked about, we can do nothing. And Father, us as a people here, us as a church, Father, I'm asking that you would give us the desire, you would give us the courage, you would give us the stamina to daily abide in you. And then you and us. And that we would bear much fruit. Lord, thank you that we can have a relationship with you. God, I'm so grateful that we have this opportunity that abiding is even possible with you as our Father. And so I choose this morning to abide in you. And Father, as we go from here, I pray that we would keep cultivating our relationship with you. We saw clearly that Jesus recognized that he can't do anything with the Father, and so we can't either. And so we need you, God. We need you. Thank you that you can help us. I'm grateful for what you're doing. Thank you for who you are. We bless you this morning, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, Marcus, I'm going to turn the time over to you. I can do the dismissal then, because I have a couple announcements there.